Everyone is seeking their purpose. When we have purpose, our lives seems to flow and we just feel really, really good because we're in alignment. But what if your purpose isn't something that you have to find? What if it's already inside of us? So it's something we essentially have to remember. That is the conversation that we are going to be having today. Ines Segal is back. She is an internationally acclaimed intuitive healer and best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body and The Secret Life of Wellness. And her work invites us to reconnect with the wisdom of our own soul, to understand how our inner world holds those clues to why we're here. And I'm pumped today to talk about exactly that, the purpose. Why are we here? Does each of us have our own purpose? So, Ina, it's great to have you back. I'm so excited for this conversation.
I love having these conversations with you. It's so fun.
They are so fun. We go in so deep, we go into such depth. And I think it's helping a lot of people understand themselves better.
So, purpose.
Yeah, so from a spiritual point of view, what is purpose and how is that different from like a career or identity?
Love that question. You always start with the good ones. I think, look, I really believe that every soul comes here with an intention or many. And to me, the intention is really to grow. I think we've spoken about previous lifetimes in another episode. And it's almost like every new lifetime, there is an opportunity to grow. But part of that growth is actually understanding maybe that in a previous lifetime, you did certain things where, let's say you started something, but you got to the middle, or you got half, or you got third of the way, or actually you did the complete opposite, where you hurt somebody, or there were seeds of a career, speaking of career, that were planted. And I believe that each soul comes back with that intention of one, to work through some karmic challenges, including relationships or health issues that show up, or financial issues, and at the same time become stronger, wiser, more courageous, more capable of, I guess, becoming this, this wiser, higher being that we're meant to become, I believe. And so whatever shows up on the way through signs, through intuitive guidance, becomes the pathway towards it. And I believe that lots of people, unfortunately, have been so numbed that they don't listen to this guidance and these signs. And that's where, they get lost and confused.
What are some signs that you're not following your purpose? Like, how is someone who is like listening and they're like, I don't know, I go to work every day, that's my purpose, but they truly don't feel it in their gut. Like, how do you know if you're not on your path?
What you just said. I think
Okay.
you feel like internally you're not aligned, and
Right.
it's kind of like your values, your because I feel like, especially when it comes to work and career, so much of it is connected to your values.
Yeah.
So as you get clear on your values, you kind of go, does this job, career, environment align with this? But purpose to me is so much deeper than just kind of a job description. I feel like purpose is really about looking at your life and seeing recurring patterns. So for instance, if you're seeing something recurring constantly in relationships, and could be relationships with your parents or your siblings or your children, then that is part of your purpose. That is something that you need to work through. So people in our lives are a huge part of what a purpose is, because the deepest growth definitely comes with those who are around us. And so we're constantly stretched in a way, and we can go, well, poor me, I'm the victim, everything's happening to me, that's really bad or challenging. Or we can go, well, actually, as uncomfortable as this is, it's literally stretching me to grow. It's stretching me to look inside. It's stretching me to learn something, to, maybe go to a healer or go to a course where I can start to discover more about myself. And so, there's so many aspects to it. And then there's, like, I just did a course not that long ago, called The Secret Guidance of Your Soul. And it was a lot to do with manifesting and co-creating your reality based on starting from the first 0 to 7. And what were you getting during that time period from your parents? So what did they believe about relationships? What did they believe about their capacity to make things happen? How did they treat each other? What did they believe about money and success? And what did you absorb into yourself in terms of fulfillment, let's just say? Because at the end of the day, part of living your purpose is learning how fulfilled am I really, and asking those questions. Am I deeply fulfilled in my life? And what are the things that are fulfilling but also unfulfilling?
So once we start asking ourselves those questions and we start healing, I guess my question is, do you believe that we're born with a purpose, or does it start to evolve or grow as we start to ask ourselves those questions and start healing?
I 100% feel like we have the seeds of the purpose within us, including, let's say, the career type. Because I feel like I remember having this experience when I was 15, where I came home one day because I thought I was going to do acting, and then I came home one day and I so for about a year I had decided not to, because everyone told me it was too hard, you can't make money and so on. And I come from Eastern Europe, so I was like, I'm not gonna live in poverty and never make money. So what's another option, right? And so I was trying to find other options. And then this one day I remember coming home from school and I was just like a zombie. And I was doing dance, and this lady gave me a book, and we didn't have card decks or anything then, or I didn't even know that they existed. So I remember just going, I need a message. I need a message. And so I opened the book, closed my eyes, pointed my finger at a line, and then I remember saying to myself, whatever it says, I'm doing. And the line said, God wants you to do what you want to do. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that's a revelation. So, and the thoughts came to me. It was like, I had this group of friends at the time, and One of them wanted to be a dentist, and I literally, I was like, I can't think of anything worse
Yeah,
than
me too.
being a dentist. Another one wanted to be a nurse, and I was like, not for me. Another one wanted to do finance. And I was just like, why is it that they all want to and genuinely feel inspired to do those things, or accounting or whatever, dance, or and I really want to do acting and writing, and none of my friends wanted to do that type of combination. No one was really excited about writing. They were more like, can you write my essay for me? Can you do some work for me? But it was, and it came to me, it was like, whatever, especially during those teenage years, whatever is inside of you, it's almost like it's pulling you and you can just ignore it. And, I was doing a podcast about parenting recently, and I was saying how so many parents have an agenda, and their agenda is, I want my child to be this. I remember my mom said to me, I think being a pharmacist is a really great job. And I looked at her like she was crazy, and I was like, unless divine pharmacist or something, I don't know what planet we're on for you to say that to me, because I have zero interest in that. And so it's that asking those types of questions. It's like, what are you like? What are you interested in? If you could do anything, where would you go, naturally, as opposed to when we live in a society that kind of pushes us into a particular direction? And I knew, because I didn't feel like, I felt like my mom was supportive, but I really didn't feel like she was, that she contributed to me getting clarity. And I really felt that I was left in this to figure it out for myself. I was very much honed in, I'm gonna say, with my children. That's why I can definitely say that I remember watching them from when they were about 12 and going, so what do you like? What do you want to do? What inspires you? For years, and getting a sense and feeling like they were both very creative, but they were very, very different in their creativity. So, my son was much more like, give me a camera. I want to walk around with a camera. I want to direct. Oh, look, there's a light. Oh, I see this. Oh, I want to, do that, this type of thing. And very much kind of like, I think when he was maybe 15 or something, he went with a friend of his and my daughter, with Anne, to like, through all the different, streets where there were beggars where we lived. And he went and bought sandwiches and bread, and then went around and trying to like gather information. And he would talk, just, he didn't have an issue coming up to somebody on the street and having conversation in that sense. But then he'd also be quite internalized inside, so people would go, he seems very shy, but if it interested him, he would just go and explore. And he had no kind of no fear of it, no fear of people.
That's
He'd be
interesting.
sitting on the bus, and just all of a sudden he's got all these, friends that are from, let's say, the Aboriginal community, and he's going and exploring things with them. So it was very much, I want to know cultures, I want to understand things, I want to know. Whereas my daughter was not like that at all. She was like, I want to dance. I want to go to an acting school, but I want to paint. I love art. But she wouldn't go out and do those types of things. She was much more insular, much more like, I'll do things with my friends, but I'm not going outside of that, bit of a comfort zone. She had to eventually, because we kept moving, but it was that sense of, oh, she's much more gentle. So my son started his own business when he was 20 or something, 19 or 20. And prior to that, he traveled the world and he was filming all sorts of things and going on to sets. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, I remember having a conversation with him one day. He was working for a company and he's like, "I'm quitting, mom." And I said, "Why?" He would have been 20 maybe or 19. And he said, "Because I can make so much more money doing what I want to do myself." And I remember thinking, "You have no idea what it means to run a business." And then he started, and I was like, "I actually don't know how you're doing this. Can you help me understand? How are you getting work? How are you getting people to hire you?" And so on. So it's really interesting was my daughter's like, "No, I'll work for someone. I will study. There's no rush. I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna enjoy my life." So everyone's so different. And I think it is really, really important to support that. And I remember a couple of years ago, my daughter said to me, she might have been again 19 or 20, and she came to me and she said, "Why don't you push me?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Why don't you push me to do things and like to get into my career? Why don't you do that?" And I said to her, "Because I didn't think you were ready to do that. I don't think it's for everyone. I think for you need to find yourself more. You need to enjoy life. You need to have fun with friends. And when you're ready, then you'll know and I will support you. But I'm not pushing you because it doesn't work for you. You don't have that character to be pushed,
Yeah.
as opposed to my son, he does."
It's interesting how society makes us think that there's like a timeline we have to follow when really it's like our soul is communicating to us. Like it's exactly that. It's like we're following what we actually are doing and there's no right answer. How does the soul communicate purpose through the body, emotions, or intuition? Like what are some things that the soul does? Or yeah, how does it communicate?
It communicates through, firstly, your likes and dislikes. So it kind of goes, "I'm drawn to this. I like this. I need to learn from this or stay away," or numbness, like, "Oh, this doesn't feel right. This is when you feel depressed, numb, anxious, you're not quite following, right? Because there's probably lots of ways that you're being guided, but you're suppressing." And one of the things that people do is they jump ahead, like really ahead. So they go, "I want to be there, but I don't know how, and it's scary." As opposed to, "Well, hold on. The soul's journey is the whole big picture, right? And there's parts that are exciting and there's parts that are not, and there's cycles that you go through." So for instance, for a lot of people, cycle one is learn. You actually have to go somewhere and learn. And they also go, like, I remember giving people this example quite often that I had to actually go to an acting class and to be where I am. Not because, even though I thought I would do acting as a job, you don't fully know that. So you actually have to follow the bits and pieces that you're given, right? And that's what most people don't recognize. They go, "Oh, if I'm being guided to acting, I must become an actor. Otherwise, I failed," right? As opposed to, "Well, actually, I had to go to act these acting classes, one, to get confidence, to be able to put myself into somebody else's shoes, three, to learn how to do things in terms of movement and acting techniques that I then later employed in healing that made me quite different to how other people taught. I had to, meet my first husband there who opened the doors to alternative healing for me. I had to fight to, people who didn't believe in me in order to write, because I ended up interviewing some, people and writing for magazines that, like, I had to learn courage. I had to learn to step outside of my comfort zone in that sense, and to what does it mean to express and be creative? And so, but it didn't end up in doing acting as a job. You know, I did a few little things when I was younger, but without it, I wouldn't be here, right? I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now and teaching the way that I'm teaching now. The same thing I can say about my second husband, who ended up being covert. I'm gonna give it this name because it's like a covert borderline slash psychopath. So they're actually kind of a borderline who has access to their feelings. And so you don't necessarily know at the beginning, and
Right.
at times has psychopathic tendencies, and at times has narcissistic tendencies. So it was like a package of it all.
Wow.
But had I not been with him, I feel like my own journey of going into this depth of exploration of spirituality would never have happened to the degree that it happened.
Right. It's
And
like it was like an initiation, essentially, in a way, right?
yeah.
Like, so an emotional struggle can essentially be an initiation into our greater purpose because it forces us to go down those routes that we never would without it, right? It's like, why would
Yeah.
someone want to stay with someone who is narcissistic? Well, in the moment, we're learning from that, and then we move on later on, but there's a reason we were put there. Is that kind of what happened with
Exactly.
you? Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And I mean, there were a lot of things that I wasn't paying attention to at the time that he had an understanding of. And I can say
Right.
that, you know, it was lots of things from I was, you know, all into, you know, healthy eating, but I didn't think that I should spend money on organic food, for instance. And he was like, no, that's, you have to. And he taught me about that. He taught me about detoxing and cleansing and fasting, you know, things that I wasn't really that interested in at the time or in the sort of doing. Because at the time I was just traveling nonstop, and he was like, the kids are getting to this age. I think it's time to stop. Like, this is the time for you to really be present. And here's, you know, some knowledge. So he pointed me towards learning more about the developmental stages. And then, because he was an actor, I was able to express the parts of me that had been suppressed for years and go into learning about, you know, my culture, because I come from Eastern Europe, and that was the most kind of profound culture in terms of the arts and acting training. And so I got to connect to my roots in that way, and really, I up until that time, I was like, oh, I was born in Eastern Europe, or, you know, type of thing, because nobody in my surroundings appreciated that. And when I started looking into the acting, the writing, the art in, you know, in there, it was like, oh my God, they were so ahead of the rest of the world so early, and some of the most amazing acting techniques come from there. And it just gave me that sense of pride into, oh, this is where I came from. Well, why did I come from there? What was it about? Which is part of your soul's purpose, is putting the pieces of the puzzle together and actually going, ah, this is why I am who I am, instead of just ignoring yourself and living in the world like just pushing through struggles, but not consciously. And so it was this conscious, oh, wow, I can embrace and take that part of me back. And now what am I capable of? You know, and so my teaching evolved, my own depth, my own spiritual journey, how I live, you know, and think on a daily basis, how I was bringing up my children. So all of these things is part of your purpose, meaning you stretch and grow is what the soul wants. And you go, oh, if I look back a year ago, 3 months ago, I'm not the same person that I am now. And I think that's a really good thing for people to do, is to do this 3 months check-in and go, have I grown? Sorry, one second.
I think the checking in on the growth, and we can feel if we're not on our path. But I had a question for you. I know you had to take a sip of your water, but if we're so off our path, will the universe bring us back to our path?
Well, the way that I say this to people is that there's all sorts of ways of doing this and getting to what you're meant to learn. And you can do that consciously, which is the easiest path. And I kind of feel like life is challenging enough. So if I can choose an easier path in that sense, I would rather than if you ignore and ignore and ignore, then you will learn from a different perspective, but it's always painful, like super painful. So you'll learn from a disease in your body, potentially, or you'll learn from a huge, huge loss, or you learn from an accident. I've seen that a lot. And if you don't, you will continue in this way, and there will be, a kind of balancing, I'm going to say, in the spiritual world, which then basically means that in the future life, you're going to be born in a much more difficult circum into a much more difficult circumstance. So you don't get away from it. It's kind of like the more you ignore it. And I mean, there are people that are doing crazy things right now that were never done before, that where you can kind of totally go off path. So if you're taking drugs all the time and you spend your whole life, on drugs, then there is definitely a possibility of that. Or I read this recently and I don't even know how to take this, to be honest. And this is not the first time I've read it, I'm gonna say. The fact that this is happening over and over again, especially in Canada, I think, where if somebody is in their 20s, I don't know, 26, 27, 28, and they say, well, I have depression, I have a mental illness, I have, ADHD or whatever, I have all these issues, it's too hard for me. I'm gonna choose to take my own life through assisted suicide.
Right.
I mean, you can definitely take yourself off purpose in that way. And unfortunately, there's such limited education about what really happens to people when they do that. And it's not about fear or, putting kind of something saying, oh, well, you said the easier way. Well, I mean, easier way for the soul. Like, you are not allowed to take your own life. That is against kind of divinity. But if you don't believe in it, which we're coming into that place of where, we're not no longer aligned with the belief that we are divine in some way, which to me is absolutely crazy. It's like, if you just look at your body, if you just look at the fact that you can speak, like that just that in itself is incredibly amazing, that your eyes, I was listening to a lecture. I do these things, trying to understand everything, all the layers of the eye, and it's just mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing, just taking your eyes and the fact that you can see and all the parts that are connected and how it's connected to your brain and your ability to think and all this stuff. How can that just be created? Like, how can that just come from nothing and,
Yeah.
not have anyone, like any divine interaction with that? It just blows my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many things that we don't know that are affecting everything that we're doing. So what are some, I have to ask, and I'm sure the audience is going to be super curious, what are some of the things that you believe happen if we take our lives too soon?
I think we should do another podcast on this because it's too big to just kind of say. But I'm just going to say that the only thing I'm going to say around this is that from all my research, and if you could see behind, I mean, not behind me, but sorry, in front of me, I have this massive, massive bookshelf. Bookshelf that is, huge. And on it, I have countless, countless books that talk about spiritual, what is a spiritual journey. And they're not new agey in the sense of like they're not, oh, somebody channeled this. This is from kind of like the mystery schools. This is something that has been hidden from us. And for thousands and thousands of years, people have kind of compiled it who were initiates. So speaking of initiation in these mystery schools and spoke about it. But I also have books from people, from mothers who lost children to suicide, I'm gonna say, and were able to create a relationship with the soul and the connection, and could kind of go through this journey of understanding what happened to the child. Also, books where people had tried to take their life and actually experience what that looks like in not going to the actual spiritual world, but going into the world connected to that, and the struggle and suffering they and the hell. Like, so when we talk about hell in that sense, it's not like, oh, there's hell and there's, what we've seen, but it's like the hell that they talk about is being so disconnected, being stuck, being in a place of suffering and darkness, and not realizing, the last thing I want to say about this, not realizing that we have subtle bodies, right? So we have the physical body, and the physical body actually protects you from feelings, especially when these feelings become really big, which is why somebody would take their life. So it protects you from that place of going, it's like, imagine just having feelings and no body to kind of suppress it. And we were talking before we started this, people suppress it through all different ways: food, alcohol, cigarettes, whatever it is. There's, so many ways to suppress it, on drugs. So what if you had no capacity to suppress, and the soul is connected to this astral body, which is your emotions? And now you take everything away that can numb or push things away, and you feel it all. And it's kind of like, expansive and mind-blowing, and you can't run from it, and it's constant, and you don't have the body to do anything to push it down. And you also, at the same time, you're aware of how you've affected the people who've been left there.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds pretty intense.
So, there's a, it's a, it's, yeah, it's intense. It's painful.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much unknown, yet there's so much insight into that world with, like you said, the books that are being written and the work that you're doing. So do you believe purpose is more about who we are being or what we are doing? Because I think a lot of people are confused by that.
It definitely who you're being first, which then goes into doing. But I think what was really interesting for me, especially when I broke up with my ex-husband, who was a narcissist, he, or I should say covert borderline more specifically, he read a lot of spiritual books, and he was very much Non so preaching. Sorry again.
Did you say not so preachy?
Sorry, say it again.
So what was the word that you used?
I said he was preaching nonstop about the spiritual world and all this stuff and,
Okay.
deep understandings of things. And he had this incredible memory on anything to do with spirituality.
Is your ex-husband was preaching all he was learning in the spiritual world?
Yeah, so he was preaching but not doing,
Oh, okay.
and it was so interesting for me because he was reading some incredibly difficult and evolved and beautiful texts, and it seemed like it, like he was meditating, he was doing all the exercises for purification, and he was cleansing his body. He was kind of doing a lot of things that people would look at and go, "Wow, that's amazing!" He's really living what he's saying. But when it came to actually treating people in a way where that knowledge was coming through interaction, he wasn't doing any of it. And at the same time, people like him project and they say, "Well, you're not doing it, but I'm doing it." And I remember there was a moment where I was staying with some friends, and they had some of these books that he had been reading, and we had broken up, and I couldn't even touch the books at the time. And then, because they went away, I thought, you know what? I remember being on a balcony and just going, okay, I'm going to just look through this again. And this particular book was talking about what the 10 kind of steps and stages of you actually doing things and embodying it, let's just say living it, and how it showed up. And I was reading through it, and I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, wow, I actually naturally do most of this, not to the highest level that I could do, but I do a lot of this. And he actually didn't do any of this. He just talked about it. And I remember we had this teacher who was, she was in her late 70s and she was teaching us. And I called her up and I said to her, I'm actually amazed because he used to tell me all the time that I can't do it, that I don't do it, that he does it. And I said to her, I've just read this and I'm kind of sitting with it because it's changing my whole perception of the fact that I actually do live this. And she said to me, yeah, you do. I've been trying to get you to see it for a while, but you've been so focused on, because he seemed so amazing. He was, very charismatic and very much like, oh my God, look, I'm doing this and that. And so it seemed, right? It seemed like he was bringing that into your real life, but everything was done for himself to make himself look better. Whereas I didn't care about that.
Right.
I've never had those thoughts. And so it you have to embody it essentially. You can't just preach it and tell everyone and not do it. And the hardest thing is to do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not speak saying what you're doing or doing what you're saying, the integrity piece is key. Like if you're saying you're going to do something and you don't do it, that sends a big message to the universe.
Exactly. And I also think that, part of purpose is that there's going to be struggle. There's just going to be struggles in your life. And your question is really, am I learning and growing from these struggles, or are they diminishing me so much that I'm actually becoming really, deeply weakened by this? And I feel like people become weakened when they don't self-reflect, which comes back to that 3 months reflection of going, have I, let's look at these 3 months. Am I, how did I grow in these 3 months? Or maybe how did I become more stuck? And if I became stuck, can I explore that stuckness? What were the lessons? What's the wisdom in it? How do I become more courageous or more aware? Or, did I search for solutions when it was really hard and painful? Or did I just go back into victimhood? Did I take a new responsibility? Who am I now that is different to 3 months ago? What do I know now? What capacity and tools do I have now that is different to, 3 months ago?
Yeah, that's such a good way of putting it, 'cause there's always those people that it just boggles my mind. It's like they have a heart attack and then it's like, woe is me, and they don't learn from it. And then like they're sick all the time, and they love talking about how all of their struggles are happening, and they're, and it just like keeps going and going and going and going and going, and I just want to like shake them and be like, what are you learning from this? Because you are causing this to happen to yourself, right? Like people who don't take responsibility or learn from those types of things, it's like it almost is, that's the way they're choosing to live. Like I feel like people need to understand that they have a choice. Like they have more of a choice than they think they do.
Well, absolutely. And I also think that, there's this aspect, of not learning, because in school we just had to, our learning was by rote, and it wasn't really a lot of our own insights that were, supported or encouraged. So now we have, this whole society where we almost, I had this conversation with someone recently. We at times act like children from the perspective of thinking, let's say, even in manifestation and co-creation, we think that as long as I imagine and think about it and wish it, it's going to happen, right? It's going to come. And I have these arguments with some of my friends at times where I'm like, well, I don't actually think like that it works like this. I feel like it's so much more of a resonance. And sometimes I'll say to them, look, I think it's really important to be aware of two sides. Here's the side that is really challenging, and here's the side where if you understand the challenge, you can start to navigate. And they're like, no, I don't want to hear the challenge. You're breaking my flow. You're being really negative. Like, why are you so negative? You're limiting me. And I'm just like, no, you still have to understand what is happening, and then you need to adjust your choices. Because if you just live in La La Land, what's going to happen is that you're going to try and manifest or co-create, and you're going to be constantly disappointed, as opposed to actually going, hold on, there's an alignment that happens, and there's also an awareness of what's going on in the world and what I'm looking for. And I may have to also make adjustments to things. And so so I feel like a lot of people actually end up really disappointed and feeling like nothing works and failing, because they're not willing to look at what's really going on. So if I give an example, like with my books, when I was talking about writing books, I can tell you almost every person said to me, oh, it's so hard to find a publisher. It's so hard. It's so this. It's so that. And I was aware of that. Like, so I didn't negate that, that was a challenge for majority of people, especially if you want a good publisher, you know, and you know, just self-publishing at the beginning. So I was like, I get that. So I actually started with self-publishing.
Right.
So, you know, my husband at the time and I, we self-published, and it was like, now we know what it takes. And it was like, hey, these are all the aspects that go into it. And now I'm, you know, I know what it means and I can do it. So I'm not desperate, right? I'm not desperate because I know I can publish my own work if I cannot find a publisher. And just the fact that I knew I could do it took away that pressure. And then I went, okay, well, and I will always say this usually when I'm trying to co-create, if I am meant to, and if it's for my highest good and the highest good of everybody concerned, then guide me towards the right publisher. All right. At the time, and it may not be the perfect publisher that I want, but guide me towards the one that I can get at this point in my life, so that because I understand things can be stepping stones. And in my own self, I was like, well, I feel because I listen, I'm going to recognize the right publisher for my book through, you know, with more ease than other people because I know what I'm looking for. And so then I, you know, like when I had The Secret Language of Your Body, I remember it was published by an Australian publisher and he did something that challenged me, let's just say. And at that time, I was like, you know what? It's time to find, you know, publishers worldwide, not just be reliant on him, because I don't, you know, because we're challenging each other and we disagree on certain things. Not that he was bad or anything, just we disagree on certain things. And I was like, oh, that's my message, right? So most people would go, oh, woe is me. And I was like, that's my message to find a bigger publisher that I want to work with. So that's how I took it. And so then I was like, okay, so now in order for me to know, and this is, I think your question was, you know, from the beginning, I'm going to ask the universe for help to show me signals that tell me that I know, because I'm creating this relationship, you know, with my angel, with my soul, with other higher beings. So I went, okay, so show me how to do this. And I ended up connecting to a few publishers. I was traveling a lot at the time. And in my mind, I wanted them, but in myself, I was like, something does not feel right with them. Just, it doesn't feel right. And I remember speaking to one of them, and they were like, so how are you going to promote it? And what are you going to do? And it felt like I had to beg them and convince them. And I remember thinking to myself, absolutely not. I'm not convincing a publisher of my book, because imagine if I have to convince them, then how, like, they're not going to do anything because they don't believe in it in the first place. So I went, oh, one of the things that will tell me that it's the right publisher is they get the book and they come to me and they believe in it, not the other
Right.
way around, right? So I
Yeah.
started creating these types of understanding in myself, and this purpose is about knowing yourself. So I remember I lived in Melbourne in Australia, and then I went to Sydney, and I was in Sydney. And again, this can be random, and I really want people to be aware of it. This lady called me up. She organized a lot of events for me in Paris, in France. I was teaching a lot in France. And she said, hey, I've got these really, really cheap tickets to New York. Do you want to come? And my first impression, like, you know, my first feeling was, of course, I want to go to New York. Of course, you know, I want to do that. She's like, you have a week off, let's go. But I know myself. And this is the difference with a lot of people. I know that I get very excited about things and I don't think them through. And then I have challenges because I've observed how I do things, right? And so I
Yeah.
went, can I have, you know, 24 to 48 hours to give you a response? Because I need to calm down and I need to reflect and think about it. And so I said that to her, and as I was tuning in, once I calmed down from that excitement, my gut feeling was, no, it's not the right thing to do. It's not right for you to go to New York because, again, this is all about self-knowledge, right? I know myself. If I have a bad experience in New York, I'm going to self-sabotage and I'm not going to actually get the publisher that I want. So I was like, I need to go once I have a publisher and I'm really focused on creating the right experience for myself, right? And so I went, oh, that's a really good understanding. And then I remember prior to going to Sydney, maybe a few months prior, I was tuning in and I work with particular images when it comes to certain things. And at that time, I was like, I'm going to work with a door, image of a door. So if the door is shut, it means don't even bother looking. You're going to waste your time. And if the door's open, it's time to look. So I would, just every week tune in and go, door shut, door open. And the door was shut for months. And then I thought to myself, I wonder if this is a message to check in if the door is open. And I tuned in and it was open. And I remember calling my husband at the time and I said to him, oh my God, the door's open. It's time to look for a publisher. And I remember he said to me, well, how about when you come home, I'll put all the publishers, we had a lot of books, that I'll print out their names and I'll put it on the floor and you just tune in and tell me which one and we just go for it. And I was like, I wish I was this psychic in that way, but I am not. So that's not how it works for me. I can't do that. So I said to him, no, I'll know. And again, I was like, okay. So there are higher beings, spiritual beings like my, guardian angel who knows things about my soul purpose that I don't, that holds the threads of my purpose. And I'm going to ask for help. And I said, okay, so for me to know, because I'm human and it's easy for me to miss things, I need like a bell, literally. I need a bell to go off in my head to tell me that this is like I'm on the right track. So that's that, now that you've shown me the doors open, I'm gonna take action. But the next thing is the bell going off in my head, literally. So a week later, I was at home and the phone was ringing. And I was like, oh, I never pick up the phone unless I know who it is. I just, have this thing about the phone.
Me too.
And at the time, it was a home phone, and I was like, oh, it's ringing, no one's picking it up. And I'm right next to it, and I thought, all right, fine, I'll pick it up. And so I pick up the phone, and this lady says, oh my God, wow, I didn't think I would speak to you. Hi, Ina. I'm wondering, if I can order 20 of your books because I do Reiki and I love your book and blah, blah, blah. And so we're having this conversation. And then she says, oh, by the way, is your book published in the US? Which was my focus. And I said to her, no, but I'm looking for someone. Do you know someone? And she said, yes. And the several years before that, the book Secret was published by this particular publisher. And she said, oh, have you heard of The Secret? And of course, it was everywhere at the time. And I said, yes, of course I have. And she said, well, it's the publisher who did that. And I'm good friends with them. And I think they would love your book. Can I send it to them? And I said, yes. And as she was speaking, this bell was going off in my head. And then she said, why don't you go downstairs? Because, well, why don't you go? She didn't say downstairs. She said, why don't you go and look at your laptop or your computer, which was downstairs for me? And so I went and looked at it. And the website of this publisher literally came out of the computer. I remember saying to my husband at the time, oh my God, this is it. This is it.
Yeah, it's
And then,
absolutely amazing how the nervous system speaks to us. Like our nervous system will literally speak to us. And when something is right for us, it just That feeling, there's nothing more beautiful than that feeling of just like full embodiment, like every cell in your body is screaming.
Yeah, and a few months later, this lady, her name was Cindy, she called me and she said, "Ina, I took your book to work. I read it. I use it. Lots of people have used it in the office. It's amazing. It works, and I want to publish it."
Wow.
And I was like, "Yeah, so there's many different ways to listen, and I think what people need to do essentially is to go, how can I know myself more? I think it starts from that. My purpose is to actually get to know myself and get to know what I do that can be self-sabotaging, what I do that can be empowering. Because I can tell you that when I ended up going on tour into the US, it was magical. It was almost like all the pieces were coming together, and it was just everything that I had wanted to experience from a publisher. It just came together, and I was like, wow, that's because I didn't just go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, here's the one that I'm going to try and push for. I worked with, let's call it my soul meets my, guardian angel meets, higher beings to go, what is the best for me and for this book and for people? Show me. And I'm not rushing. I'm not trying to, bring the wall down. I'm just trying to understand and work in alignment with what I'm feeling and take steps towards it.
Yeah, that's a huge lesson for people to learn is patience part and like waiting for the right time. Because again, our society tells us that getting to the next step is the most important thing and chasing that next best thing. But to stop and listen and to understand that we may have a vision, but we don't know how long it's going to take for it to come into fruition. Like to have full belief in it. That's what manifestation is. It's like the belief in it, the coherence, the embodiment, but we unfortunately can't choose timing.
We can't. And I also think that when you know the challenges, I'm going to say you can adjust and work through it and start to go, like, how does this work for me? And what would I do? And how would I do it? And this is what other people are saying that they're experiencing. So how do I get clarity, in myself on what to do and who can I learn from and where can I go? And, you And we live in a world where we can learn now. And so, am I willing to invest by seeing what's out there? Am I willing to go, okay, well, if this is not what I want, and this is not what I want, and what do I want? And what are the actual healthy, real steps towards it that are the most likely? And does that feel aligned with me? As opposed to chaos, where people just go, well, I just want this to appear out of thin air, as opposed to, well, no, it's the same. Again, if I bring it back to my book, people go, well, how did your book become a bestseller? How did it get to number one in so many different countries at different times in terms of the category of, health, alternative health, and well-being? And it's like, it didn't happen from nothing. I can tell you, it didn't just happen because I gave the book to the publisher. It happened because I invested a huge amount of time. I had people that I paid who would call every bookshop. I had that, my ex-husband did that in Australia. He literally called every alternative bookshop in Australia. He would just do that, and I'm very grateful to him for doing that. That was my first husband, not the narcissistic one. But when I was in America, I remember launching the book. Again, we paid people to do that. I was working with a publicist. I paid a huge amount of money to the publicist. I traveled, I had to pay for my own travel. I had to Like you said, believe in myself and invest and trust that this is, this is what I believe in. This is going to be long term. I went to countless cities. I did talks. It didn't happen because I just wished it to happen.
Yeah.
I made friends with lots of people. I remember, my first tour, which was, maybe 9 weeks or something. So 9 weeks I went away from my children and traveled, and my mom came to some of it, and I was literally on the phone, 8 hours a day. I remember whatever we were doing, she was like, please just get off the phone, get off the phone. And I was like, I can't because I'm making connections, and it wasn't from nothing. It took a lot of effort. I was on countless TV shows, countless radio shows, countless magazines. So people have to understand that you have to be living your purpose or co-creation or all of that. You have to align. You have to be ready. You have to, not push when it doesn't feel like it's the right thing. And then you have to be willing to really, really, really work at it.
Yeah, the work is the missing step that a lot of people get confused in the manifestation process. But what a beautiful conversation we had today. The last question I want to ask is for people out there who feel maybe they're a little bit behind, they feel like they're behind, confused, or really disconnected. What would be a gentle truth that you would want them to hear today?
Well, purpose is actually completely not dependent on your age, right? And at any moment in time, you can decide that you want to discover it. And I can say this because one of my really good friends is in her 70s. And a few years back, she was depressed. She was not doing well in her life. She felt like her life was a bit meaningless. And I said to her, hey, I've learned some stuff, and there's this really interesting business that I'm not going to do myself personally. But I think, and it's to do with this particular health product. And I've tried a million health products. And you know what? I have tried it for 2 years. I think it's absolutely amazing. And I think you should look into it. And I'm not trying to push you into doing the business because I'm not doing it myself personally. I just love it and I think it's great, but there isn't to take that on board and explore it. And she did, and she's become super successful. And she's traveled, to countless countries with it. She lives it. She's about to do another tour. She has a team. She says they're like her family that she's built from doing it. And she was in her 70s, kind of, really, really struggling with different things that were happening in her life. And she's gone, she has a lot of issues with her family. And she's gone, you know what? This, I live this, this is my family. The people who I work with are my family. So it actually, it doesn't matter what age you're at. And I remember I said to her, hey, well, there's also opportunities, can I point a few things out to you? And I gave her my ancestry healing cards, and she was like, wow, this is really deep. And then I said to her, well, let's just talk through some of the things that are coming up for you that this business or relationships or anything, that in our lives open up that you need to look at. And this is why people are reacting to you in this particular way. And this is a huge part of your growth. So even though business is great and money and all of that, I'm like, look, all these opportunities that you wouldn't have to grow any other way. And so I actually really encourage people to go to my website and explore the masterclass that I did on your soul's guidance, right? Because it I can't, I really go into a lot of kind of ins and outs of how we get guided or blocked, I'm gonna say, through different stages of development, different archetypes, and how we can open ourselves to, for instance, the seer archetype that guides us, right? That literally kind of goes, hey, I'm like, this is where your intuition awakens. And as you create a relationship with it, things start to open up. And I want to say, even in this masterclass, which is only free for a short period of time, because I want people to have access and to take away excuses. The people who did the masterclass, and there were thousands and thousands that did it, the feedback that I was getting from the processes, because there's two processes that come with it, one of connecting to this kind of this opening of this vision as well, they were, and then manifesting, co-creating and so on, they were saying that they just could not believe the insights and the understandings that came to them, and the next step in the journey and the alignment. It was pretty amazing. So yeah, the secret guidance of your soul. Yeah, just really encouraging people to take action. Don't just sit with it and suffer and struggle, no matter, even if you're 90. Even if you, I literally have students who are 90 who are doing this course.
Nice. I
So,
love that. There's never like there's time is like it's so weird how society gauges time and that like people feel like because they're 50 years old, they're running out of time. We can start over any time. And I love that advice that you just gave to everybody. Yeah, what a powerful conversation. Where can people find your masterclass?
so they can go to my website, innersiegel.com,
Beautiful,
and
beautiful.
yeah, they'll see there's a section for master classes.
Awesome. What a great conversation. Thanks so much for being here. It's so good to see you.
Thank
I look
you.
forward to the next one. And yeah, just always insightful.
Thank you.
And to our audience, check out Ina Segal's website to find what your purpose is. Until next time, take care, everybody.